Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most family-friendly podcast network.
This is News Fighters,
where we fight the news
so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to News Fighters for today, the 27th of August, 2021. News Fighters, where we watch the news so you don't have to. And I'm your host, Dylan Bain, the Lord of Wacky Clips. Coming up in today's show, my guest is Chief Satirist from the ABC show 7:30, Mark Humphreys, here to talk about his new book on politics. And stuff.
So the stuff is more politics, just to be clear. It's not really about anything
yes,
other than
that. I picked that up. I was going to say, what is the stuff in on politics and stuff? Because it's all politics. Yeah. So right now, as I record this, Sydney is entering its third month of lockdown as the third Delta wave of the COVID-19 pandemic here in Australia is turning out to be the biggest yet in terms of daily case numbers. So I figured now might be a good time to take a week off from all the depressing Delta pandemic news and maybe look at some of the hilarious post-political vanity projects from some of our ex-politicians. And of course, I'm talking about podcasts. Yes, it's hard to believe that after their careers fizzle, these white middle-aged men would embark on making indulgent, pointless podcasts that nobody wants to listen to. Who on earth would waste their time doing that? This month, former Australian Prime Minister and world-famous onion eater Tony Abbott launched his own podcast with the right-wing think tank, the Institute of Public Affairs, called Australia's Heartland with Tony Abbott. And I'll be honest, the theme music made me want to shirt front whoever's responsible.
Australia's Heartland with Tony Abbott is your voice. Each week, Tony and I discuss mainstream Australian values, the future of the Australian way of life, family, community, and Australian culture.
Yes, and nothing says Australian culture more than banjo music that sounds like the theme from the Beverly Hillbillies. Yeehaw! I get the feeling the impetus for Tony Abbott launching his podcast was probably that his former colleague and former Liberal Party Education and Defence Minister, Christopher Pyne, launched one back in 2019. Now, if you haven't heard of Christopher Pyne, he was a gaffe machine while he was in Parliament, like famously this time when he was Education Minister.
You're the one who made it very clear
yesterday.
You made it very clear yesterday.
And I've dealt with it.
That you had to get the reform bill through, otherwise the 1,700 positions would go.
I'm a fixer.
How did you fix it?
I fixed it by funding it in another way, which you'll find out in the budget.
Why can't you tell us?
I want it to be a surprise for you.
All right.
I've cleared it away.
And we'll find out how later on.
I fixed it.
Yes, and I know that seemed awkward at the time, but now just claiming you fixed everything when you obviously haven't is basically the official communication strategy of our Prime Minister.
So we have the plan. We are making great progress to achieve the goals of that plan.
The vaccination rates are hitting their marks now. We've had our challenges, but we've overcome them.
We've overcome the difficulties of the vaccination program. Putting in General Fruin at the beginning of June have really helped turn that around.
So anyways, Christopher Pyne retired from politics in 2019 after spending 26 years in Parliament. leading Prime Minister Scott Morrison to say this.
I mean, Christopher Pyne has spent more time in this place than he's been on the planet.
Scott Morrison there accidentally confirming alien life forms do indeed walk among us. And of course, they live in Adelaide. Christopher Pyne is also well known for poking fun at his own upper class upbringing in Adelaide, like in his farewell speech to Parliament.
Mr. Speaker, I've had a fortunate life. I don't have a log cabin story like so many people in this place. Although I once did have to get my own lemon for a gin and tonic, which I'm...
That's funny, because Liberal politicians are all upper-class toffs who believe they're born to rule and are used to having servants. Hilarious. So from politics, Pyne jumped into the new media landscape, launching his podcast Pyne Time in 2019.
He's traded in the green benches of Parliament House for the voice booth, putting together his very own podcast.
And when Southern Cross Oz Stereo asked me to do a podcast, well, first I had to look up what they were, of course, because I thought podcasting was like shelling peas.
Yeah, so great to hear Oz Stereo giving a podcast to someone who didn't even know what a podcast was. Mind you, this isn't uncommon in the Australian media landscape. I hear that Nick Giannopoulos got the offer to make The Wog Boy without ever having seen a movie before. It was also surprising that Christopher Pyne got offered a job in new media. I mean, he's not known for being tech savvy. I mean, we all remember that he couldn't keep his Twitter account secure.
A homosexual pornographic video was accessed and liked by Christopher Pyne's official Twitter account early this morning.
Did you like the gay porn?
Well, Carl, obviously, it's very annoying that my Twitter account was hacked on Thursday morning at 2 a.m.
Yes, in fact, he's so non-tech savvy, he admitted on the podcast he doesn't even know how to use an iPad. You know, like a toddler can.
I had an iPad once.
Did you?
I never turned it on. They gave it to me, one of the government departments gave it to me and said, this is your iPad, Minister, and you're going to be sent all of your cabinet documents on this iPad. And so you need to put your password in and this is it, and it's all very secure.
Yeah.
And I gave it to my one of my advisors and said, this is the iPad with all the cabinet documents on it, and I don't intend to use it at all.
Yeah.
So just, you know, go to the website that is provided to us and print off the documents and put them in a file with a two-hole punch for me, and I'll take them into the cabinet and read them beforehand, etc.
Yes, you've got to love the Liberals, the real party for meritocracy there. What do we do with the guy who doesn't know how to use an iPad? Let's make him the Minister for Industry, Science and Innovation.
Yes, well, when Malcolm made me the Minister for Industry, Innovation and Science, I really kind of felt I should explain to him that I wasn't very good at things like innovation. That's my thing.
Anyways, Pyne Time has gone for two seasons and he's made 20 excruciating episodes. And if you're wondering what kind of an idiot would torture themselves by listening to all 20 episodes, well, you're looking at him right here. What do you think I do on my weeks off? Lie on the beach? No, I'm wacky clip hunting. Now, unlike the Tony Abbott podcast, this one is actually hosted by Christopher Pyne, and it's a pretty standard interview show in that he has on his high-profile friends to have a chat. You know, people like Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese, Annabelle Crabb, Peter Hellyer, Wally Dully, people like that. One of the most high-profile guests was former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, who came on Pyne Time, I think just so Christopher Pyne could hit him up for some free holiday accommodation.
Do you still have an apartment in New York?
We do, yeah. We have one on the Upper West Side. Yeah.
I have to look forward to staying there one day.
Sure, I'm sure you'd be a very, very welcome guest.
Myself.
Yes, and on that episode, Pyne seemed absolutely flabbergasted that Malcolm Turnbull would catch public transport and chat with members of the general public.
And I've seen you buying your own train tickets and ferry tickets and chatting on the ferry from Kirribilli House across to your home with the punters on the ferries or on the trains without even a care in the world.
Yes, and what do you expect from Pyne? I mean, here's a man who seems to despise the general public so much that he seemed to relish being burned in effigy form by students when he was the education minister.
Because they said to me, do you mind the fact that they're burning your effigy on Spring Street? And I said, look, I wouldn't mind so much if they could actually get it alight. I said, they must be art students because the science students would certainly know that the propellant that they're trying to use is not going to light that plastic.
And that's funny because he loved making higher education completely unaffordable for an entire generation of young people. Oh, well, pip, pip, time for another G&T, butler. Pyne Time also showcased Pyne's unique interviewing style in which he basically ignores whatever the subject is talking about and instead winds up looking like a toffee-nosed buffoon himself. Like, for example, when he was interviewing the artistic director of the Adelaide Festival, Rachel Healy, and he just went off on a tangent about stealing a blanket off an elderly woman.
Perfect example of what festivals can do that
which is to go outside the four walls of an arts centre and create a site-specific experience.
It was
experience.
Cold the night that I was there, I must say.
Yes, I think...
But I dressed poorly.
All right.
I should have worn... I dressed for the summer, and of course, as soon as the sun was gone, I was in deep trouble. Well, but I think I pushed some old lady, I pulled an old lady's rug from next to me on half onto me and half onto her. I think she just generously allowed me to.
Yes, and as a man who spent 26 years in federal politics, don't expect him to offer any geopolitical insights or behind-the-scenes banter on his podcast. Why on earth would you want to talk about that on a political podcast when you can talk about your old clothes?
I've got something to reveal to you about tracksuits.
Okay.
I have a tracksuit.
I don't believe you.
I have recently acquired a 1981 Calvin Klein reproduction tracksuit. So I had some seersucker white pants that were puffy in the thighs and came in at the ankles. Carolyn bought me a pair of thongs years ago when she was buying thongs for the children and said, here's some thongs. I said, what am I going to do with those?
What do you wear to the beach?
Boat shoes.
Then surprise, surprise, the episode with billionaire transport owner Lindsay Fox wasn't a deep dive into the future of logistics or transport policy in Australia. No, no, no. Instead, it was an excuse to reminisce about Lindsay's lavish birthday party where Burt Bacharach played.
Burt Bacharach put on a great show.
He did, didn't he?
And I might have had a couple of too many champagnes, I think, because as he was leaving, I raced over to him and gave him a very warm embrace.
Oh, that's nice.
My wife was terribly embarrassed and said, what do you think you're doing? I said, I've always loved Burt Bacharach. He's fantastic.
Oh, the Liberals really are the party of the suburban battlers, aren't they? What tradie from Western Sydney hasn't also accosted Burt Bacharach at one of their billionaire mates' birthday parties? That's relatable content. Get Christopher Pyne his own Triple M Drive show right now. The other thing I noticed listening to every single episode is Christopher Pyne seems to still have a chip on his shoulder over a bad essay mark from uni in the 1980s.
I wrote my first legal essay about the dismissal in Adelaide Uni and I got 30%. And I went to see the professor.
That's more than you should have got.
I chose to write my first Constitutional Law 1 essay about the dismissal, for which I got 30%. And the lecturer took me aside afterwards and said, you have to understand, in the Adelaide Uni Law School, you can't write about anything political. Otherwise, you'll never get more than 30%. I said, really? They said, yes. So I never did, never went near politics again.
Yes, and if only he had never gone near politics again in real life too, then the whole of Australia could have benefited. Pyne also relishes reminding his high-profile guests that he's a published author, but don't expect any insights into the creative process or tips on writing or publishing. No, no, no. Pyne is just here to brag about his mediocre sales figures.
A Letter to My Children, which sold 3,500 copies, and my most recent book, The Insider, which has now sold over 14,000, according to Hachette.
And on its way further.
Which is quite a good in Australia for non-fiction. That's
absolutely good. That's excellent.
So my book sold about 14,000 copies now.
That's good.
That is a lot.
That's a lot for a politician.
Sure, for non-fiction.
Yeah definitely.
Bestseller non-fiction's about 4,000 copies.
Mm.
Yes, in many ways, Pyne Time is a lot like the classic political interview series Frost Nixon, except if David Frost spent the entire time telling Richard Nixon about his Calvin Klein tracksuits and minuscule book sales figures. Another insight I garnered from the show is, despite his image as a silver spoon-born Adelaide aristocrat, he's actually incredibly cheap, as he refused to even give Gladys Berejiklian a copy of his book.
No, no, I might even sign it for you.
That would be lovely. Have you got a copy here?
I haven't, sadly.
I thought you'd give me something for doing this.
Race out. No, you get a warm inner glow.
Oh, gosh, okay.
It's a warm inner glow. I get something for doing it, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, now that's the sound of a satisfied podcast guest, if I've ever heard one.
Hmm.
Christopher Pyne also admitted to Gladys that he won't even buy a book unless he's in it.
In fact, I'd stop at the bookshop in the airports in Canberra and I think, I'd look at the book and think, oh, it's not got me in it. They can get stuffed.
No.
I'm not even going to buy this book.
No.
I'm not in it.
Speaking of airports and flying, Christopher used his episode with former Senator Amanda Vanstone to lay out his complex and detailed plans on how to hijack an aeroplane.
I don't know why they bothered to ban bloody knives and forks on the plane if I wanted to take over a plane. I could stick a chopstick or something down through their eyeball and pull it out.
HB pencil in the eyeball.
HB pencil in the eyeball.
Or the eardrum, incidentally. That'll work.
Mm.
Grab them by the back of the hair, I shove an HB pencil in and go tap, tap. And believe me, they're ready to do what you want.
To be fair, killing a person with a pencil is actually taught in schools in South Australia. Anyways, if you haven't picked it up yet, the overarching theme through all 20 episodes of Pine Time is that Christopher Pine loves talking about himself, something not lost on his high-profile guests.
You see what's happened here? You've asked me a question, I've answered it, and then you've responded with an anecdote.
I know, I'm sorry. But that's my style, see? That's my brilliant interviewing style. See, and now we've got it back to me again. So you can try.
I don't think we've ever got it away from you yet, to be honest.
You can do your best.
Is this about me or you?
Both of us.
Right.
When people come on this podcast, do they always spend the entire time talking about you or do we
talk about other people? No, we let them talk about themselves for 20% of the time.
Good.
Even Christopher Pine finally seemed to notice that some of his guests were dropping hints.
But
it's tricky interviewing people, isn't it?
Well, it is actually. So was this podcast as bad as you thought it was going to be?
If only Pine had listened to his own instincts.
When I was fantasising about what jobs I might have post-politics, not recently but years ago, and thinking I might actually not be qualified for anything.
Yeah, Christopher, you were right. Definitely not hosting a podcast, that's for sure. If only you'd done one of the other jobs you wanted to do.
I thought the two jobs that I could do would be an information officer at the airport.
Yeah.
The second job was being one of those dancers on a cruise ship.
Yeah, and at least if you were a dancer on a cruise ship, you wouldn't be subjecting podcast audiences to whatever this is.
I had a lovely conversation with a man whose name was Dozer on Kangaroo Island one day, which was humiliating for my children at a barbecue in a shed, a sharing shed. And Dozer was a local contractor, and Dozer said... I don't think Dozer was his christened name. He looked like a dozer, all right? So Dozer said, what sport do you play, mate?
But look, all this nonsense I encountered listening to all 20 episodes of Pine Time has actually inspired me. In fact, I'm announcing that I'm launching my brand new recurring segment, A Whiff of Pine. Yes, on every episode of News Fighters from now on, I'm going to be signing off with a hilarious or at least... slightly off-putting, out-of-context clip of Christopher Pine from his podcast, Pine Time. Like this one.
I think board games teach you a lot.
They do.
They do.
They do.
Or this one, where he talks about what a great person Pauline Hanson is.
In all our personal dealings with Pauline, my personal dealings with Pauline Hanson, she's been more than charming.
Or this one, where he talks about his great life during lockdown with his wife.
She has been very fortunate to have me at home. Where I've been assisting her with a bit of advice about cooking and tidying and what the house should look like and what should go in the garden.
Mm.
She doesn't pay any attention to me, of course, with my advice.
A distracting vignette coming to the end of every episode of News Fighters. So hopefully you stop asking yourself,
was this podcast as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, now on News Fighters, joining me is the co-author of the new book On Politics and Stuff with Evan Williams. It's Mark Humphreys, who is the ABC 730's in-house satirist. Now, for all our friends listening overseas, Mark, can you describe this role? It's a bit like if Dana Carvey joined the NBC Nightly News or Steve Coogan had a segment on BBC's Newsnight, right? Like, how did this come about?
That's a good question, really. I mean, does it exist in other programs? I'm not even sure of it.
It's a very Australian thing.
It is somewhat of an Australian tradition. So there used to be a pair of satirists named John Clark and Brian Dore who would do a short satirical segment at the end of the week, a sort of mock interview. Mm. And they did that for many, many years. And but anyway, about 10 years or so, they went off and sort of left 7:30 and had their own little program. And so for several years, 7:30 has not had satire. And for some reason, a couple of years ago, they went, let's do that again. And so my writing partner, Evan Williams, and I were lucky enough to get the call up. And because we have a background in doing satirical sketches, we've been working together since about 2012, and so we got that gig. And so once a fortnight, because that's how much the ABC budget can afford, we do a little sketch, I suppose, sort of whatever kind of takes us that particular week. But that's sort of the background of that.
And you started in 2018, late 2018. Surely you haven't been short of material. I started Newsfighters in early 2019, and I honestly thought I'd just be making Prime Minister Bill Shorten franking credits jokes around now. We haven't been short of material, have we?
No, that's it. That's the thing. I say this all the time, and I try and couch it, phrase it very carefully. I am very much in favor of a change of government, not out of some ideological, lefty, whatever. I just am bored of making jokes about this particular side of politics. Just give us something new. This was the thing about, like, the same-sex marriage debate in Australia that went on for so long, and it was thank God it finished for A, people who wanted to get married, but B, from a selfish perspective, so that I didn't have to keep sending it up. I just got, how many more, sketches can I do saying this is ridiculous? Just let them get married. And so, same thing with climate change. Like, that's the one I really just am so, like, I simultaneously think it's the most important thing that we should be talking about. And I also go, I don't know what else I can say about this topic. So, anyway, that said, there have been, I guess, on the plus side, from a satirical perspective, this government over the last few years has provided a fair few characters, I think you'd say, Dylan. I think we've been quite fortunate in that sense, and some of them have moved on to other things. But then there are the sort of the perennial favourites, like Barnaby Joyce, who's the leader of the Nationals Party, sort of a kind of a country party in Australia, and who has now returned to the leadership of that party after, you'd think he, you'd think he was out after he impregnated his staffer, just blew up his marriage, he threatened to kill Johnny Depp's dogs. There's all sorts of things. If you're not from Australia, go look into Barnaby Joyce. There's a whole rabbit hole to go
now,
down.
Now, if Labor does gain power, are you hoping for the same comedy material from future Deputy PM Richard Marles? Now, surely he can. Surely you've got a Richard Marles character in the pipeline.
I've got a few clips in the back in a folder where Richard Marles used to host a show on Sky News with Christopher Pine.
Pine and Marles.
Yeah, and this extraordinary thing where you had two members of parliament from opposite sides of the aisle hosting a show. And I just think that's extraordinary. Firstly, how do they have time? Secondly, they shouldn't have time. How dare they? And also just like, who's the audience for this? I don't know. I mean, you could say that about a lot of Sky News programs, but so Richard Marles seems pretty dull on the surface. But these, I think leadership and the responsibility kind of bring something out of these people, not necessarily, you know, for the better. So I'd be keen to see what that looks like.
So now onto your book. Now, I was looking online, and according to the internet, this is your second book after Data Warehousing Architecture and Implementation from 1999. Yeah, yeah. Is that correct, or did I misread that?
Let's go with that. Let's go. I've cared a lot about data implementation. Don't ask me anything about it right now.
Is it a different Mark Humphrey? I think it might be a different Mark Humphreys. I'm not sure. It's okay. You don't have a Wikipedia page, I actually discovered as well, which makes it a bit hard to
fact check. Oh, I see. Right. Yes. Yeah. Now, there is another Mark Humphreys who's got a new book out, which came out last month, called The Spike. And so I've been getting, I think, yeah, we've worked out that he gets some of my feedback and I get some of his feedback. So we now sort of know each other and message each other, and we've got something to tell the other. But
you go. This could be your Sky News shows, Humphreys and Humphreys.
That's right. Yeah, I love it. But this is my second book, though. Evan and I wrote a book called The Chasers Australia about 5 years. I mean, no, when I say second book, I mean no one's read it. But for the Chaser Australian satirical group, we wrote a book a few years ago, and since no one read that, we thought we'd have another one. Try again.
So how did this come about? They have a series called On, and this is on politics and stuff. Did they just they approached you? They thought this your wheelhouse, obviously.
Totally. Well, because this so Hachette Publishing, they have this On series, and they get this slim volumes is the polite way to describe this very very small book. It's just they're slim volumes on different topics, and so they've had people like Blanche Delpuget and Sarah Hansen-Young, and so people in politics and people in public life, Lee Sales. And so logically, the next name you think of is Mark Humphreys and Evan Williams. And so they came to us and said, is there something that you, in this series, that you think you could contribute? You know, do you want to do something on satire or what have you? And that felt a little bit kind of, I don't know, navel-gazy or something. And so we just said, well, can we just do one on Australian politics? And they said, yes. On Australian politics sounds a bit up itself. Can you kind of just give it a little something? It's like, on politics and stuff. Yep, great, I guess. So the stuff is more politics, just to be clear. It's not really about anything other than
I picked that up. I was going to say, what is the stuff in On Politics and stuff? Because it's all politics. Yeah. And what was the aim with the book? I felt like I read it, I enjoyed it. I felt like it was almost an explainer for people who don't know all the Australian in-jokes about our pollies and political parties. Was that the aim, or what were you trying to do here?
It's a little bit of a journey, I suppose. It's a journey through political life and how one might go about that and what you would need to know. So I think, yes, it is. Maybe it's Australian politics for dummies. Maybe that's what it is on some level. But I think there's certainly stuff I hope that appeals to the people that the well-informed ones like ourselves who follow this stuff closely. But we sort of start with kind of how you get to Canberra, quite literally, as we detail the
Murray's process,
the Murray's coaches. We should have actually come to some commercial arrangement with them, because we give them quite a plug.
You do. I've caught that coach a lot. It's not worth writing about at all, really.
Oh, it's not? Okay. We originally wrote it as Sid Foggs, because we like the name Sid Foggs than Murray's, but Sid Foggs apparently do not do.
Don't go to Canberra. No,
they don't go to Canberra. So,
yeah.
And of course, we believe in creating a tome that, upholds the highest, editorial standards and fact checking. So we reluctantly adjusted it to Murray's.
And then writing with Evan, your co-writer, you've worked with for a long time. What's the writing process like with him, especially on this book? Do you divvy it up into chapters, or do you finish each other's sentences, or what is it like?
it's great. We've got a very good, a really wonderful relationship where we basically will be in a shared Google Doc together. And at least for this one, it starts obviously as a series of conversations about what are some of the areas that we might want to cover. So we sort of brainstorm. So, okay, we want to talk about the two different houses, the upper house and the lower house. We want to talk about some of the ministerial portfolios. We want to talk about Canberra, the city, all those sorts of things. And then from there, it's sort of a kind of free-for-all where we both put on our respective, Spotify soundtracks. So I'm hitting the ABBA pretty hard, and we're kind of writing independently, but we're seeing each other write as we go. And what's nice about that is sometimes I'll see Evan is writing a particular area and that'll spark me. And so I'll sort of jump on the back of what he's doing or vice versa. Otherwise, we might be just in separate sections. And then after a couple of hours, we'll just say, okay, do you want to have a chat? And then we'll just read through what we've done. And then that will always just spark more jokes, and so it's quite an enjoyable experience, really. And we rarely have disagreements. If one person doesn't like a joke, that's pretty much a cue for us to go, well, let's ditch it. So there's nothing in there that, you know, I think everything in there has been approved by both of us, I would say. Though if there are any things you don't like, you can address all inquiries to Evan.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a very slim read. I managed to knock it over in an afternoon. Is there anything you wish you had more time to expand on, or anything that could become a second volume, perhaps?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think, generally we could have done more on sort of the actual policy side of things, I think. We didn't, so I think, governing in general as a general idea. I think maybe more to do with the media. We sort of touch on all of these things, but there's certainly room for expansion, but not to the point where we wanted to go and write 40,000 words. So it was just sort of like, we know we can write more than this, but we don't think we can write that much. So or rather, we're just too lazy. You know, we only make a 2-minute sketch once a fortnight. It's really not in our nature to, you know, overexert ourselves.
Nice. And what's coming up in the future? More book writing, and I guess more 7:30 sketches, I suppose.
More 7:30 sketches. What have I got coming up? Yes, that's right. At the end of the year, we'll be touring Australia. So each year I tour with Charles Firth from The Chaser, Jen Owen and Victoria Zerbst from The Feed, and James Schleffel, who is the founder of The Shovel, so all satirists, and we do a live show. And so, you know, pandemic permitting, we'll be coming to all the major, you know, cities and some smaller towns at the end of this year. So, yeah, looking forward to that, because I really like, you know, just that instant response of the crowd. And, so that'll be nice to get to be among people again. Assuming that,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
TBC. TBC.
Call me again in 6 months. Let's see. Play that clip back to me. How did that work out for you, Mark?
Brilliant. All right, the book is On Politics and Stuff by Mark Humphreys and Evan Williams. Available where all good books are sold, or if you're trying to be COVID safe, available as an e-book, which is if you don't want to leave your house. Thanks again, Mark. Where can people find you online, on the socials?
At Mark Humphreys on Twitter. My Instagram needs a bit of a boost, so at Humphreys Mark. Yes. I couldn't get the rights to my own name. So
that's Spike Book.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Gosh, god damn it. Hit me up over at Humphreys Mark on Instagram.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for making time to be on your
Thanks,
Spiders.
Dylan. Cheers, mate.
So that's News Fighters for today, the 27th of August, 2021. News Fighters is written, produced, and edited by me, Dylan Bain, for Sans Pants Radio. I'm taking a week off, so catch up on some classic News Fighters episodes by hitting subscribe or follow on YouTube or your podcasting app of choice. To support the show and get monthly bonus episodes, including one that's coming out next week, pay to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or join our Patreon at patreon.com/newsfighters. Or you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters. Also, we refuse to pay to advertise on Facebook, so sign up for our free Substack newsletter to keep informed at newsfighters.com. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at newsfighterspod. And a big thank you to Mark Humphreys for being on the show. Don't forget to check out his new book, On Politics and Stuff. All right, everyone, don't forget, stay home, get vaxxed, wear a mask, keep fighting, and bye for now.
This is News Fighters,
where we fight the news
so you don't have to.
So Dozer said that... What's board you play back?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.